Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that brings you deep dive interviews with the motorcycle industry insiders and racers that make the sport move. I'm your host, Dale Spangler, and this week our guest is former pro motocross racer turned motorcycle storyteller and singer-songwriter, Blake Wharton. This episode of Pit Pass Moto is brought to you by Moto America. Moto America is the home of AMA Superbike Racing and is North America's premier motorcycle road racing series. Rewatch every round of the 2022 series and revisit all the action with the Moto America Live Plus video on demand streaming service. Or visit the Moto America YouTube channel for race highlights and original video content. To view the complete 2023 Moto America race schedule, head over to MotoAmerica.com and be sure to follow Moto America on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for real time series updates. Let's get started. We'd like to welcome back to Pit Pass Moto, former pro motocross racer, Blake Wharton. Blake, thanks for coming on to share what you've been up to lately in both your personal and professional lives. What's new with you?
What's new? Well, a lot of action, but I've been enjoying the races, of course, now that Supercross is back. So that's in our weekly schedule for sure. We're not going to miss any of those events. And then, of course, we've got Houston this next weekend, so we'll be going there, and then in Dallas soon. But just 9 to 5 and over here watching the races, and then we get some side projects going as well, so that we're looking forward to come March 7th.
So one of those projects, kind of the sort of big news why we wanted to have you back on, was this event that you're calling the King of Daytona Pros versus Joes race. That's going to be in conjunction with the Ricky Carmichael Supercross Vintage Days, if I'm not mistaken. So tell us about that. Where did this idea come from?
Well, later last year, we got to do the Diamond Dawn's big vintage race here in Southeast Texas. And we were introduced to the class there, which is the XR200 class, you know, the small little bikes that some people probably have just sitting in the garage right now, or they've been using as pit bikes for a long time. And a friend of mine built a bike, and he invited me out there. And so we showed up, and there's 22 guys, like 5, 6, 7, 8 fast guys. So it was a blast. We got to do a story on it and a video on it that was on Racer X. And so from then we just thought, wow, this is a cool concept. They've been doing this concept, I think, for a while. You know, some guys have done it in California. We learned it from Diamond Dawn event. And then I'm sure it's been happening in, you know, since the 80s and 90s to a degree. But we thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to take that to the big show, which would be, you know, Daytona, being Daytona Bike Week. And I'll be seeing a different side of it. You know, back when I was racing full time, it was just like you'd fly into Daytona, you'd do your thing, you'd fly out. But I'm told there's a lot of cool stuff happening. So maybe we'll get a chance to watch the amateur guys, and hopefully maybe a couple of them will want to stay for the next day and win the vets and the ATVs race, from what I'm told. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was the case, that it sort of carried over the idea from that Diamond Dawn vintage race, which I think, by the way, it was the 20th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, this past year.
Yeah, and that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I really hadn't heard of this event much, but then when I did some digging, I'm like, this looks like a really, really cool vintage race.
Well, Diamonds, exactly what you said. I had heard about it years before, but it's like that event that everybody knows about, but they maybe have not gone to. It's sort of like underground, if you will, still. But it's got a great turnout from when we were there, and Diamond's got a cool facility. And we just had some really cool guys out there this year. I'm sure they've had really good runs the last 20 years, you know, as well. But just seeing the different bikes. And then, of course, you know, I grew up with motorcycles, and I'm a second generation racer. So I saw the vintage bikes coming up, and I knew about the different brands and the different guys, but I've never done much with vintage personally. And these XRs kind of fit in a different sort of mold. You know, they're vintage, but they're four-stroke technology, and they're pretty bulletproof. good for people who are wanting to learn, you know, and get in a little bit cheaper. Good for, you know, vet guys that are not riding full time anymore, or guys just looking to level the odds and even the playing field. But yeah, that's where we first experienced the 200 class, and we're wanting to do some different projects this year and different media projects and writing and film and stay involved in as many ways as we can. And so this was one we hit Davey up on, and Tim Cotter, because Davey let me do the story, and so he's well aware of the class. And they like the idea, you know, and vintage racing is actually pretty big. I've come to understand in Texas, and there's been a lot of good guys that I've gotten to meet from that event. Then I went to Doney, Texas for another ARMA event. So that was our second one. And so we just got to meet a lot of cool people and folks from the Ohio, you know, area up there, California. And we're hoping to meet some other guys, you know, when we go to Florida for this thing.
Yeah. I was noticing the Diamond Dawn event from last year. I mean, there's some pretty big names that show up at that, like Kevin Windham, for example. I think I saw where you made a post for Eric Vallejo from Mexico, former pro racer, and then some of the more veteran riders like Brad Lackey. So I assume with this event going to Daytona, has there been already some pretty good interest from some former pro racers?
There's been some good interest. Eric's a friend of mine. He came to Doney with us, where we raced the 100 CCs, the 1982, 1981, 83. Yamaha 100 CCs. It'd be awesome to have him out. I don't think he's going to be able to make it. You know, it's far for folks on the other side of Texas. And so I'm thinking we're going to pull more from the Gulf Coast crowd and maybe some folks from a bit north, but definitely some interest so far. You know, after that race, we saw like 10, 15 guys going to build these bikes like immediately. And so we knew that there was interest there, and we knew that it was a good niche of the sport. I mean, literally just all these guys. And the builders, like Kenny Vaughn, for example, who built the bike that I raced at Diamond Dawns, he was swamped all of a sudden with work. And then Nicky Dunlap, who's doing my motor, he's just swamped with work. And so we know the bikes are there. It's about getting people to show up. And fortunately, Daytona is a well-known event, right? It's just getting the word out that this class will be taking place on that day. And then if you've got a bike and you want to throw a pipe on it and change out the springs, you're pretty much good to go. It doesn't take much to get them race worthy, but you know, you can go all out and spend, you know, 10 grand in them as well. As far as pros go, we got some good guys that I've been talking to. It's a little bit harder right now with Supercross. So some of the guys that I may have approached are going to be pretty busy. They still may come. But there's some good vintage guys like, in Arena Cross, Nicholas Jones. We've got Riley the Ripper. He's a fellow Texas racer. He races the XR 200. I talked to John Short, you know, Cody Gilmore, a lot of the guys that are going to be there from some of the flat track stuff, and maybe some of the dads of some of the amateur guys. I was hoping maybe a Mike Brown or you know, a Kevin would show up, but not totally sure yet. So we're just getting the word out still. So I'd like to lock in some of those guys here soon. And yeah, I mean, even the intermediate guys and guys that maybe, you know, we didn't grow up racing, they're still really fast on those bikes. And there's some really good guys. Sean, I've been talking to Sean Hackley about it. He's pretty much lightning on a 110. He's always been super, super good. There's a whole list of them that I've got wrote down that I'm in communications with. It's just about, you know, finding the bikes for these guys, because, you know, not a lot of them are going to have those just sitting around. And yeah, so that's where we're at right now. But a lot of interest so far, and we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds already like it's going to be really interesting, whether you're there to see the cool bikes or just see some old fast racers, like you're saying, because a lot of those names you mentioned, I think, man, if half of those people come, it's going to be really a fun event. What do you think the end goal is with this event, though? Is it just more just to bring attention to the whole vintage racing scene, or are you kind of hoping for this to snowball a little bit more?
Well, we'll see when we're there and when it's done. But yeah, we're not opposed to doing this more going forward. There's already some really cool races around the U.S. and even in Europe that do some really cool vintage racing. And maybe introducing this class would help a bit. As you know, the unfortunate part with vintage bikes is there tend to be less of them each year. You know, you can't be too hard on some of them. And just parts are becoming hard to find for like the 100, for example, the Yamaha, really cool bike. But it's kind of a rarity these days, where the XRs are a bit more abundant, and you can just do, I think, more of them. So it's a good class for that type of racing and to introduce sort of a different side. Like I said earlier, we're just trying to do as much as we can right now with the different projects, and we love staying involved. Me and my partner, Jordan Lake, who's helping me out with this, and we're building some bikes. And yeah, if we could take it to one of the other big venues, that would be awesome. Who knows? And we're open to possibilities. And yeah, the community is really cool. You know, I grew up racing with just pretty intense amateur scene when it was, you know, I don't know, it's big now, but it was at a high point when I was coming up through the amateurs. And so you didn't really ride as much for fun. And so that was kind of a newer concept that was introduced to me. And you can just tell at these events, everyone's nice and everyone's having a good time. And it's just for, you know, the event and to promote just the coolness of this concept and being involved and just racing. And so either way, whether you win or you come in third or fifth, it's a good time. And hey, the build's half the battle. So for me, I want to build something as cool as we can and show up. It's speed and style. You know, it's everything that the vintage guys want, and then maybe a little extra for some younger guys or some current pros.
So I assume you'll be, you know, you being a columnist for RacerX Illustrated, we'll be able to look for an article and possibly even a video here after that event.
Yeah, we're going to definitely do a video. We've had some good interest on it for folks online are like, hey, where can I watch this? Where can I watch this? And they do air the amateur racing day, of course, the pros, but the amateur racing day on Racer TV. But this won't be on Racer TV. But fortunately, we have a friend of mine and a online and TV personality, Kaplan America, who's going to be there. And I've been talking to him a good bit. So he's going to be covering it for us at the very least. Of course, we'd like to have some other, you know, magazines or journalists, whatever you have out there. And I'm sure Davey will want to do something on it. So we'll definitely be doing some film for sure. Definitely doing some film with Kaplan. And I'm just getting the word out. But fortunately, it's a big event. You know, there's a lot of people already there. And if we just have a bit of that crowd there, it's going to be pretty entertaining.
Well, that's cool to hear. I recently just discovered his YouTube channel, Kaplan. And he was over in Saudi Arabia for the Dakar Rally. Right. And so I was following some of that. Really good, insightful stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with together. So
yeah, Kaplan does a lot of shooting there. He's there all week. We spoke about it. He's a big fan of the concept. And of course, he's big into all the different bikes. And so we're hoping to combine forces a bit and cover this event and see what happens. You know, ultimately, it's up to the folks online and at the races to see how interested they are. And we'll keep it going if we can.
Before we finish today's episode, first, we have a word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's talk about another one of your projects you have going on. I saw recently where you did look like a video / photo shoot for the MX versus ATV video game series. Looked like that was kind of a fun, interesting day.
Yeah, no, that was a cool shoot. We did it over here in North Texas at Oak Hill, a track that I grew up riding. And we used the UTV track, but I got a good friend of mine, Zach Beavers, who I grew up with, who used to race moto, and he's in UTV stuff now. And then we've got another fellow quad guy, you know, which that community is, you know, much more thriving than I originally had thought. All these years, I hadn't seen quad racing, and here it is happening at Daytona, and here it is happening at Loretta Lynn's. It was a cool event. I got to know the MX versus ATV guys several years ago. Unfortunately, COVID happened when we were starting to talk about doing some different projects. And so it wasn't until now that we got to really get out and do something. And we're going to be dropping that soon. And I hope to do more projects with those guys in the future. Of course, it's a game that I grew up on and most of us did, you know, and it's changed several different iterations over the years. And the gaming tech has changed. So it's cool to see. And it's cool to see them being involved with motocross as they have the last couple of years. So yeah, more stuff with those guys to come. So look forward to it.
What do they actually do with that? Do they kind of like somehow turn that into illustrations or, you know, animation for the video games themselves?
No, not quite to that point yet. That would be awesome. You know, some different things that they could possibly do with motion capture. That would be great. But that's some pretty high dollar stuff. This was just a promo video for now. And we really love the concept, you know, basically just live action UTV quad and dirt bike. And we plan on doing some more stuff going forward. But just seeing those units out on the same track, if the track was somewhat fair and neutral, seeing the advantages and the disadvantages you know, we grew up with quad racing. It was always around at the local racing scene and kind of died off. And so you could see where the quads were fast and how they would change the track and how things were just different. And it was a different world, but those guys still rip. You know, I was surprised at how fast Justin, the quad racer, his bike was just a rocket ship. And I know some of those guys got 85,000 into their units. And then our UTV there was $150,000. And it's like a turbo. And it's like, it's so loud and fast that it almost hurt my ears just being around it. And so the dirt bike is good. It's nimble and you can have some advantages, but it's definitely a lot closer than people might think. So that was one of the things we set out to do, to explore and see how close these vehicles were. And let's watch them in the live action sort of setting. And, you know, it's a bit dangerous there. So you don't see that much anymore at public tracks with those vehicles. And of course, UTV guys are on different tracks. So just a cool concept. Yeah, we definitely hope to look to, you know, looking to do some more stuff with that.
I liked your comment, though, where make sure when you're riding with UTVs and quads that they are the ones on the outside in turns.
Yeah. The bumping and grinding, it doesn't go so well with, you know, when you have a bike in the mix of that. And it was kind of funny because I was talking to Zach and yeah, he had no problem being in his caged UTV. He felt safe as can be, happy as a clam, if you will. So yeah, don't try it at home. You know, at least be very, very much careful because we know how dangerous it can be. But just to be around those vehicles, you know, again, with quads, of course, I grew up riding with and around quads at the public tracks, but it's just, you don't see as many of them anymore. But the UTV was a different animal. And getting close to that thing and putting my hand on it a couple of times and seeing how fast we could go. And it was cool. It was cool. And you definitely don't want to catch roost from those things. And you definitely want to give them a little bit of room when they're pushing the front end.
Definitely. So what else has been going on? Like, I know you have your Blake Wharton motocross training schools. And then, you know, of course, your music career. What's been happening on those fronts? Anything new and exciting there?
We're still recording some music and we're going to be implementing some music with this project, actually with the MX versus ATV project. We're going to be doing the music for it. And that'll be cool. It'll be a bit different than what we're used to doing. You know, it's more like sync style music just to complement the film, the video. But yeah, I still do some training on the side. I don't have as much time these days to do it, but I enjoy that. But yeah, just going to the races and soon with Houston and Dallas and just enjoying it from a different side. You know, we've always got something in the pipeline, always got something in the works. And so we'll definitely keep you guys in the loop whenever we get one of these other projects that I've got working that I can't talk about just yet on the books. But yeah, just enjoying the other side. You know, it's a different chapter of my life, but we still get to go out and do some of the things that we, you know, grew up doing. It's just a different side. We got plenty of ideas. We're just finding places and placement for them. And the sports are, you know, evolving and it's growing. So I think there's room for it. So whether it's a bike test or a desert motorbike test that we do, or some strange build or a different race that we're going to. I like the oddity stuff. I like the races that maybe no one has heard of. I mean, going to countries where moto is thought maybe not to have existed before. And I've always been passionate about that. And so keeping those motocross abroad stories going and meeting new people, you know, in the industry. And that's what it's about for me.
Yeah, I love that. Last time we had you on, we talked about, I believe it was Israel. You went over there and did some schools and actually took part in a race, and super fascinating. Yeah.
The motorcycle sport and the motorcycle sports, different versions of it. They're alive and well in, you know, other parts of the world. It just looks different. And seeing the guys racing the scooters in India and in Indonesia and these different parts of the world where it's not really motocross, but it's like you can tell that that's what it's aspiring to be. It's pretty wild. And some of the things that these guys are doing on these, you know, not say modern motorcycles are very expensive motorcycles. Even that, there's just a lot of passion there. Lots of different communities where there needs to be some light shed. And I think it's the American viewer, you know, would really appreciate that. And they like that, you know, seeing this, it's just like, wow. When we first went to Israel, you know, people just didn't know that that was happening. And I didn't know to the extent either. But I know it's alive in other parts of the Middle East. You know, it's a little harder to get to those areas right now. But we're open, you know, and we'll see where it takes us, this road.
Yeah. I kind of got that same feeling with just, you know, following this year's Dakar. Like, they're just so into sport right now. And so a lot of those places in the Middle East seem like they're really into motorsports.
They definitely can be, you know, motorsports is a bit Western for some of the cultures over there. They love bikes. They do. They haven't had the opportunities to maybe pursue them so much in the past. But yeah, there's no shortage of money in Dubai, as we know. And so there's no reason why there couldn't be a successful and thriving motorcycle community and culture there. I'm sure there already is to an extent. But even more so than it is now. And then, you know, Israel is a small country, but they have a lot going on for them, a lot of good things economically. And so there's no reason why you couldn't see that. Some of these places just need a little more organization. And, you know, in the U.S., we're pretty lucky. We got a lot of land, a lot of space, tracks come and go. But ultimately, it's been pretty easy for us to who have aspired to be racers and have pursued that as our passion. Not so easy in some parts of the world, but the passion is certainly there. It's everywhere.
Definitely. Well, I wanted to get your take on the state of Supercross right now. Want to see what you think. You being a former three-time 250 Supercross race winner. Wow, what are your thoughts this year? I think for me personally, of course, I probably say this every year, but to me, it's one of the best starts to the seasons I've seen in a while. We've got top six riders within 15 points of each other. The level of competition has never been this close, in my opinion, and starts are more critical than ever. You know, what are your thoughts so far on the series?
Well, it's very much alive still. You know, it's anybody's game, at least in the, you know, in the 450 class. And even though it's really been Tomac's world up until this weekend, and everybody's just been living in it, you know, he's been so perfect and seems like he hasn't made a mistake in 3 years, but, you know, things happen. And he was pushing hard in that moto where he was, I believe, behind Webb. But, you know, those little mistakes, man, it gets you off on the side of the track, and those hay bales, they grab you. They don't let you go. And we saw that with Malcolm Stewart earlier. But very exciting stuff. I mean, it's always really good early on in the season. And fortunately, it's not like one or two guys yet. And it may whittle down a bit, you know, three or four rounds from now. But Webb coming on strong, I'd like to think that the East Coast is going to suit him and just, I think, make it to where it tightens up. He's really good on those tight tracks and those rutted tracks, which, of course, on the East, things slow down a little. Mm-hmm. And you have to pick and choose more. So really, for a guy like that, I think he's going to be, and he's quite possibly coming into his stride right now. And that could be what he needed and needs to get up there and really mix it up with Eli. Eli has been so fast. Of course, we'll see how he comes back, you know, after this fall. And then, you know, Sexton, he's been kind of what we've all been expecting it. You know, he's been really fast, and we just haven't seen maybe the consistency. But of course, he's got it going now and with a win. And then Jason, you know, I grew up with Jason. I know Jason fairly well, and he can win on any night, you know, if it goes his way and he's feeling it. And so having him in the hunt, because he had such a good year last year, I mean, I think that's good. That definitely keeps it exciting, you know, in the lights class. I'm looking forward to the East Coast. It's going to have some veteran guys that we haven't seen, you know, maybe, what is it? I guess Sealy. And it's another rider that's going to be coming back. I can't think of who it was right now, but so that's going to be pretty exciting. Of course, I've always liked the East. We've got the Texas rounds, and in the lights class on the West, it's hard to beat Jet Lawrence. It's his year to win. I mean, it's expected of him. That doesn't make it any easier. Sometimes that's actually when it's hardest to win, because, you know, he's got the speed, but he's got to play it smart. And this weekend, he kind of got a little bit lucky with RJ going down and some of the guys going down, because he had a rough go. It wasn't his best weekend, but that's the Triple Crown stuff. You know, it's like anything that can happen strange, it will. And it tends to breathe life into guys that wouldn't have maybe been going for it from the get-go, you know, at a traditional round. You know, racing 15 minutes plus two laps and 20 minutes plus two laps is about one of the hardest things that you can do. People don't, I don't think, realize that there's a big difference between 15 minutes and 10 minutes. Oh, yeah. And so when you give those guys that opportunity, you know, you see guys like Phil, you know, going for it. This last moto, he was going for it. And if it would have been a shorter moto, he probably would have won it. And so I like the Triple Crowns for that. You know, you just give guys a chance that maybe wouldn't have had it because they're not quite to that point yet. So all in all, it's real good. It's been good. There's been several years where we thought it was maybe the best it's been. I know 2013 could have been that for me. And then I know in the 80s, there was lots of good racing and early 2000s. So it's hard to say. Racing is always going to be exciting. If you've got people showing up to the starting gate, you're going to have races. But we'll see. Another couple rounds, we'll be a little closer to see who's going to take the confidence. And it looked like it was Eli, you know, and I still think it is. He's got the momentum. But you see how quickly it can change.
So with Houston this weekend, it's kind of like you're basically your current hometown. I mean, I think you're a little outside of town there. But it's also one of the places you won a 250 Supercross main event. So that has to be pretty special for you. Tell us a little bit about, like, what was it like to win that race? you know, in front of, I mean, were they your hometown fans then?
Dallas was more of my hometown at that time as I was living in Dallas when I wasn't in California, but my dad and my brother were already living in Southeast Texas. So it was about as close as it gets. You know, I spent a lot of time here over the years and I know pretty much everyone in the Texas motorcycle community, but no, it was awesome. My grandpa got a chance to attend that race. He didn't stay for the whole night, but he got to attend that race earlier in the day. And that's not something that he, you know, did a lot of in my racing career. So it was an awesome time. It was hard fought for sure. Would have liked to have gotten some more wins and top finishes in my home state, but, yeah, I cherish those moments and going back to that place, it'll be fun. It's always a good time.
Definitely. Well, you kind of gave us some little bit of predictions on the 450 class, but with the East Coast starting up this coming weekend, I'm pretty excited. It's kind of like another, you know, A1 all over again when the different coast starts up. We've got Tom Viel coming in from Europe, Hunter Lawrence, Michael Mosman. I mean, I've got a list of people here. I'm going, man, it's going to be tough to predict who wins. I got Nate Thrasher, Jordan Smith, Max Anstey, Jeremy Martin, Garrett Marchbanks, and then question marks, Hayden Deegan and Dax Bennick, who, by the way, those guys look pretty incredible watching the Supercross Futures there this past weekend.
They look good. I think it was a little bit deceiving because that track was extremely difficult. Just with the whoops alone, that wasn't a very friendly amateur Supercross track. But those guys are definitely very fast. The level's been rising, you know, over the years, and you can tell watching those guys on their practice tracks. Of course, and go to the race is a bit different deal, but it's hard to be a first year guy or not even pro yet and hit whoops like that. Are they racing the East Coast, Bennick and Deegan?
I think there's a chance.
Yeah, well, and you know, it'll be good if they do. It'll be exciting to watch next year if they don't. But yeah, there was another guy, it was Anstey, who I was thinking about. He actually looks really good on the practice track right now. He's been back in Supercross for, I don't know, a couple of years, and it took him a while to kind of catch his stride. But I like that story, and I like seeing those guys. Of course, Chris Blose is another guy that's a veteran. And so I'm kind of rooting for the veteran guys, and Seeley, another guy I grew up kind of racing with, and who will be exciting to watch again. So I'm rooting for those guys, but it's going to be hard to maybe go against a Smith or a Lawrence, I think. I think they'd have to be probably considered the favorites. I know that the PC guys are hurt, so we kind of lost some of those key players. So it kind of simplifies things a little, but it's going to be good regardless. And everyone comes out swinging at round one. So there's never a shortage of excitement.
Definitely. Well, folks, the inaugural King of Daytona Pros versus Joes event is going to occur on Tuesday, March 7th. As I mentioned earlier, as part of the RC4 Daytona Vintage Supercross. Blake, really appreciate you coming on today. Any last words or shout outs you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, no. If you guys are at Houston this weekend or Dallas in the upcoming future, or if you're at the Daytona Supercross or Amateur Day, just stop by, say hello. If you have any questions on these different events that we're doing or different projects, just feel free to hit us up online.
Otherwise, look for those articles probably on RacerX, you know, not long after event here in March.
Absolutely.
Again, thank you so much, Blake. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me on.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow Pit Pass Moto on your favorite podcast listening app so you never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, please rate and review our show. We'd appreciate it. You can also follow us on social media or visit pitpassmoto.com, where you can listen to past episodes and purchase your very own Pit Pass Moto swag. This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson and the production team at Wessler Media. I'm Dale Spangler. I hope you'll join us next week for another episode of Pit Pass Moto. Thanks for listening.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. they were able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcasts.